Hello again, and welcome to the Orwell Astronomical Society podcast for October 2013. Well, here we are in October, and the nights are visibly drawing in. Indeed, don't forget to move your clocks back 1 hour towards the end of the month. First this month, the moon information. Full moon is on the 18th, and new moon on the 5th of the month. In fact, look out on the 18th, and you may see a penumbral lunar eclipse. This is where the moon passes into the outer shadow cast by the Earth from the sun. It is not easy to see, but the brightness of the moon will dip slightly during the eclipse. Worth having a look at around 1 o'clock BST on the morning of the 19th. Now on to the planets. Venus and Jupiter are the best planets to see this month. Jupiter being best observed, that is when it's at its highest in the sky, at the end of the month, around 5 a.m. Venus will be glowing very brightly in the west, just after sunset at the beginning of the month, but it will be quite low down. Mars is an interesting target this month. At the end of the month, it will be about 30 degrees above the horizon in the east-southeast. If you have a small telescope, you will notice the definite reddish colour of Mars, caused by the iron content of its surface. If you have a bigger telescope, you should be able to see features such as the polar ice caps, surface features, and possibly dust storms. Mercury is just about visible after sunset at the beginning of the month, but again it is very low down, not more than about 1 degree above the horizon just after sunset. Saturn is not visible at all this month, but again, as always for the adventurous amongst you, Uranus and Neptune are quite well placed to look at for the whole month. Both these planets may be seen around midnight in the south, particularly at the beginning of the month. Uranus in Pisces and Neptune in Aquarius. Now let's move on to the meteor showers this month. Quite a bumper crop. Around the 8th of the month, the Draconid meteor shower reaches its peak. This is quite an unpredictable shower and can give some quite good numbers. The best time to look is around midnight. The star shower this month will be the Orionids when they reach their peak around the 20th to the 22nd of the month, and again it's best to view after midnight and before dawn. You can expect a zenithal hourly rate of around 25 meteors per hour, but of course that doesn't guarantee these numbers, and in fact there may be more, but most probably less. And just to spoil us, at the end of the month, from about the 28th into November, there is the Taurid meteor swarm. Although this particular shower is not very numerous, it is associated with Comet Encke, which should be visible between Leo and Ursa Major at the end of the month. And about the same time, if you have a medium-sized telescope, you might be up to see the much-anticipated Comet Ison, which follows a roughly parallel track a little to the east of Comet Encke through the constellation of Leo around the same time. October is still a good time for observing the Milky Way, as I talked about last month, as it is still almost directly overhead. How about looking at something a little further than our own galaxy? Now is a good time to try and find one of our neighbouring galaxies, the Andromeda Galaxy, or Messier catalogue number M31. The Andromeda Galaxy is a little larger than our own Milky Way galaxy and looks very similar in that it has a rather nice spiral structure. It can be found very close to the Square of Pegasus and is reasonably well overhead in the late evening. Check online or in a star atlas to find its location. Bear in mind, however, that it is larger than you might think when you look at it, and is best viewed through a pair of binoculars. The Andromeda Galaxy and the Milky Way Galaxy are actually rushing headlong towards each other, and over the next few billion years will interact, and most probably form one huge galaxy. We do have several smaller, closer neighbouring galaxies, the most famous of these being the large and small Magellanic Clouds. But these are quite close to the South Celestial Pole, so you have to travel to the Southern Hemisphere to be able to see them. I hope that this podcast has given you some ideas of what to look out for this month. There is plenty more out there to see, and I recommend that you look on the internet, astronomy magazines, or in an astronomy book or sky map, to show you what else is out there and where to look for it. As always, another useful tool is the planisphere, which you can use to find out exactly what is overhead at any time and date of the year. And these are readily available from any good bookshop. Listen out next month for November's highlights. Bye for now.